As we get started tonight, again, we're going a little forward in leadership training. We'll be a crossover tonight, talk a little bit about deacons, a little bit about pastors as well, some of the philosophy of ministry. I know that I may not finish tonight, which is fine. We'll just carry over. I don't want you to feel rushed, and I don't want to feel rushed when we have this time of prayer as a family. Taking requests, sharing requests. Some of the greatest ways that we can get to know to one another is knowing our burdens and our needs and our prayer needs. I try to visualize when I go through the prayer list and try to put a face with that name. And sometimes I can't, so I got to get my directory and pull it out to make sure I know who I'm praying for because I'm still learning names. But I think it's a precious time as we pray for one another, and I don't want to cut that short, and I don't want to cut the preaching or teaching too short, but I think I still have plenty of time to be effective in sharing some things tonight. And again, before we get started, another thing is I just want to say thank you. It's wonderful to pastor a church, and I know it's early days, and a lot of people are excited and eager, just like I am, but it's wonderful and encouraging to have people volunteer, willing to serve. How can I be a part? Where can I be plugged in? How can I, you know, what can I do? Maybe not even knowing how you could be used, but just simply asking, well, preacher, what do you need? What possibly can I do? And I just want to say thank you. It's a tremendous help to me because admin is not my strength, though I can do it. But I enjoy shepherding. I enjoy studying. I enjoy getting to know my people and eventually, again, being in everyone's home as I've been in many of your homes already. And I'm looking forward so I know where you live and spending time with you and getting to know you. So thank you so much in that aspect. All right, Philippians 1. And if you have your little outline tonight, or do we have an outline tonight? Do we or not? No? Okay. I will go slow. If you're going to make an outline, if we don't have one, if you'd like to make some notes, Roman numeral number one, simply understanding the office. Understanding the office. And we're looking at deacons in this first section. Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. So if you want to put something under understanding the office, letter number A, deacons is one of two New Testament offices. Deacon is one of the two New Testament offices that we're going to look at tonight. The other is pastor that we've talked about in previous weeks, and we will cross over as we go through leadership training. And the qualifications for both offices, we're going to turn there together, the 1 Timothy 3, are listed here. We read some of these already in previous weeks, but we're going to read them again and go a little further. So if you want to get your finger there in Timothy, 1 Timothy 3, 1, and then Titus 1, 5, and then we'll read a lengthy passage here, and then we'll go over a few other things in the next section. I think we all understand here in letter A, deacons is one of two New Testament church offices. Now, just because the office is there and given as a church office doesn't mean we fill it because it says it's there. We fill it with qualified individuals. So if we don't have qualified deacons, then that's what many churches have established and use what they call trustees, maybe some men that are involved that could be a great help to the pastor, maybe meets all the qualifications except one or two things because of his past life, but he still has spiritual influence and input he can give the pastor. But these are the offices that the New Testament mentions here. So let's look together in 1 Timothy 3:1, and we'll read through this, and then we'll look over the Titus 1:5. This is important, before I read again, this is important that you know, because in the coming months and later in the year, we're going to be looking at, as I mentioned before, about bringing on what I call DITS, D-I-T-S, deacons in training. Other men that may meet the qualifications, maybe don't have the experience, but myself and the deacons that we have now feel that they can come along with us, be set aside for a period of time for training, be involved with the deacons, mentoring, and maybe eventually later to become deacons. But you need to know the qualification yourself. Church members need to know what those qualifications are if they want to recommend or ask about somebody possibly serving. So let's read this together. 1 Timothy 3:1. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetousness, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? not a novice, lest being lifted up in pride he fall in the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, and we talked about that last week, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also be first proved, as I mentioned before, the deacons in training, setting aside, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so, very important, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacon be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now turn over to Titus 1:5. Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Titus 1:5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set the order the things which are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, and the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to sound, by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. Letter B, if you want to write some notes down. The first deacons were appointed, notice this, to solve problems, not create them. Deacons were created to solve problems, not create them. This is very important. We need to understand some of these guidelines, and we're going to read some more things here a little further in our text. It says, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples and said unto them, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So these deacons were appointed to solve problems, not to create them, to be a help to the pastor. Now, I've been around some people, and I've been around some churches. There's no magical thing about them calling out and using 12 men or 7 men. You have to remember during this time, the church here had grown to close to 1,000 before they even appointed deacons. The point we want to make is, no matter how large the church is, proportionally, what does a pastor need in helping him serve tables? The widow's table, the Lord's table, and the pastor's table. To be a help to the pastor in administration or in other areas as well in helping. Soon we will have posted in the church, and whether we'll have a handout or just posted, but it will be available to you. Our congregation, we broke down into thirds. And every deacon will be responsible, have a families that they're responsible for. And so I'm not telling you that I'm not ignoring you. What I'm telling you is to help me as your pastor with some needs, you can go to your deacon. You don't always have to wait to see me. If there's of importance, they will come to me. And if I need, and if you need to come see me, you some do that. What I'm saying is you don't necessarily have to come to me for every little thing, but they will also en route come to me and give me feedback. I meet with our deacons. Listen to me. I meet with our deacons for a little fellowship at least once a week, and we meet once a month at length. Now, this month we've met twice. At length. And so we've enjoyed it. I'm afraid maybe in the future we might have to meet somewhere and have some food and beverage as we discuss some things because they've been a little longer. But that's normal as I adjust in and learn you and we work together, knowing each other, and work through some things we're working on from some church policy to church constitution guidelines. And those things, some of those meetings will begin to get shorter as we move into the future. And I appreciate these men. And I appreciate you other men willing to serve that are also helping in some of these areas. But we need to remember there's a purpose. It's to solve problems, to help, to encourage the work of the ministry. Letter C, the word deacon means one who renders service or ministers to the needs of another. So they're not just serving the pastor's table, they're also serving within our church and helping those of need. The deacons know, they have experience, and we're learning from each other, and I'm also learning from them because some of them have served as deacons longer than I have pastored. Some of them are old enough to be my daddy. And I love them and I appreciate them because I'll tell you why I love them and appreciate them so much. Number one, because I need to for the word of God under pastor. But they're not yes men. Amen? They're not yes men. When we sit down and talk, we're able, if we have a disagreement, to talk through it. But they also love me enough that they will never do it in public or in front of anyone else. Always in private. They will never, I'm positive, they will never say anything negative about their pastor. Amen? Because they're good men and I trust them. And when they do have something concerned, they will come and talk to me. And so I'm grateful for that. And you as well, express that appreciation for them. Be willing to talk to them. Encourage them and thank them for serving your pastor, our pastor's table when you're speaking to them, because it's a tremendous help to me. Again, who renders service or ministers to the needs of another. A couple points under that. Here in Acts 6, 1 through 4, this is the only passage that deals with the function or duties of a deacon. So it's good to know it well. Read it. And when it comes time to pray for and to recommend or nominate or talk about the qualification of a deacon, you should know this and know it well, because this is where it speaks of it in these passages. And then the one biblical function of a deacon mainly is service. And this is what I love about these men. Each of them, Brother Ken, Brother Daryl, and Brother Ed, have all asked me, Pastor, how can I serve you? How can I help you to be the best pastor you can be? I hear from them regularly, and we see eyeball to eyeball at least once a week. And it's not always in conversation at length, but we're fellowshipping, and then we talk about business other times during the month. Let's see, letter D. Regarding the biblical office of a deacon, the emphasis rests upon qualifications, not functions. If we're not careful, we will have a function. We need someone to fill this function operation who can do it. No, it's about the qualifications first and then the duties, not just the functions. In other words, these qualifications, know what they are. They're here, as we read in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1:5. Know what the qualifications are. Be comfortable and familiar with them. And as far as not functions, it's not just what they do. I'm confident that the three deacons that serve our church and serve their pastor would do many of the things they're doing already without the title. Amen? They would. Because some of them, they're already doing those things and taking on more responsibilities. And that comes with a servant's heart. That's a qualification there. Functions change with a deacon. See, functions change according to specific needs and pastoral appointments of business. But the qualifications never change. Their duties may change. They may have to take on more with other areas, but the qualifications never change. Qualifications are to remain constant and consistent with the Word of God. And if we cannot do that, and if we say, well, we have to do this, and I'm going to park here just for a moment to give you an example. When we were helping churches before we called time out and needed the break for that 4 years plus years, almost five, came out to Arizona, seriously considering this is where we're going to move, be closer to our daughter, closer to the grandchildren. We came out here, and you know the story. God just opened the door, knit our hearts together. This is the first church we visited on a Sunday morning because we're going to church. And it was a few miles away from where our daughter lived. She goes somewhere else, but we just want to stay in the circle that we're familiar, more comfortable with, so we came here. And the Lord worked from there. But the point I want us to understand in this aspect as we grow as a church, those qualifications should never change for a pastor and for a deacon, even though their functions may change. As I mentioned, we come here, we weren't quite sure what we're going to do yet, but meeting some of the deacons, meeting the trustees, meeting the pulpit committee. Now, depending on the size of the church, where we need trustees and or deacons, or just deacons and trustees appointed in time of needs for financial functions. But whether it may be, we need men involved. Every man should have a desire. Lord, I don't know that you want me to be a deacon. Lord, I don't know that you want me to serve this capacity, but I just want you to know I'm willing to serve in whatever I'm qualified to do and needed to do in my church. I think that approach, ladies, remember, guard yourself. You never want to hinder your husband from the opportunity in serving in some capacity, because the qualifications are here for the wife of a pastor and a deacon as well. And they're very important to strive to do and to be our very best for the Lord in working together. Again, I'm encouraged. I'm excited. I'm reluctant to go too much further because I want to realm into the aspect of philosophy, but I'll give you Roman number 2, and we'll pick up there next time, but I may say a few things before I close. Understanding the philosophy of local church leadership. And we'll pick up there next week, and we'll talk about the pastor's threefold work, and we'll get back again with leadership and deacons again, but some of these kind of crisscross, and I want to reemphasize some things. But I want to, again, emphasize tonight, as we move forward as a church, I know there's men here that can serve in many areas, but there may be some areas where they may not feel comfortable with as serving as a deacon or feel like they're not qualified. I will never twist your arm and say, look, I think you're qualified, why won't you serve? I'll never do that. If you're approached and you're asked to pray about it and you don't have peace about it, I'm going to honor and respect that, but I may also come back and ask you about another area. Because my goal is to have as many men involved in ministry as possible. But at the same time, I don't want to overload you. I have a breaking point. And I've been fully transparent with you, and I'm going to share another one with you so you'll know. Okay? When I get stressed and I get nervous, you'll see me doing this a whole lot. Sometimes it might be just a little itch, but if it's a lot and it's continual, because under stress, this side of my face goes numb. Temporary. And the best thing you can do for me is when you see this, pray or maybe whisper in your ear and say, preacher, when's the last time you took some time off? When's the last time you took your wife out to eat? That'll be your signal to me that you see I might be a little stressed. You need to take a deep breath and you need to relax, Pastor. Isn't that easy? Now, no, sir. I'll turn the other cheek. Yeah. Some years ago, I had Lyme disease very bad. Very. Okay, guys, I was picking on you tonight about listen to your wife, because I didn't listen to my wife and I didn't go to the doctor. When I went to the doctor and there was a streak from my shoulder to my heart from the Lyme disease that would have killed me if I continued to ignore it. Praise the Lord, we had a doctor in our church there in Germany. She rebuked me in love and then told me what I need to do, where I need to go. God is good. Where we lived in Ansbach, it was one of the Lyme disease capitals of Europe, had a special Lyme disease center there, and the doctor that I saw was familiar, put me on the medication I needed, but it was so far into it that I still have some side effects. A little bit of arthritis, joint pain, nothing unbearable that I can't deal with. But this portion keeps coming back when I'm overloaded or stressed out. And that's contributed, the doctor said, don't be surprised when that comes back. I went to see my doctor, Dr. Raftus. He looked like Elmer Fudd, but was a little taller. A wonderful doctor. And I just happened to be wearing my Superman t-shirt when I went to see him. And then he said, Pastor, I like the shirt, but you ain't Superman. He wrote me a prescription, I kid you not, to take a 10-day vacation. Now, he said, I can't make you, but as your doctor, I am encouraging you. You need, your blood pressure is up. You're having that again here in my office. And he looked at my wife, and she says, amen, doctor, you're right. And I took some time off. So I'm a workaholic. I enjoy working. I enjoy being around people, both physical and in the ministry. And so I do have to be reminded. I do turn my phone off when I need to. So if you do know those things, just don't fuss at me. Just love my neck. Ask me if I've taken my wife out to dinner recently, or if I've taken a little time off. And that'll be the gentle reminder that I'm doing this a whole lot more than I'm realizing I am. Usually it's not like this. It's usually more like this. But I'm doing it more than I realize. Because like you men, I don't always listen to my wife the first time she tells me. Ladies? Yeah, all right. All right. So guys, I wasn't picking on you, Brother Frank, Brother Ritter. I was just pulling you in with me because I'm guilty as well. All right, we'll stop there tonight. We'll pick up, look a little more into philosophy of ministry next week. And then please let me encourage you again to read over these prayer lists. And on the bottom of your prayer list, it should have Brother Cena's name and number. Email address. You can email him with any corrections or updates. Earlier in the week, the better, so we can print them and have them ready for Wednesday. If you want to correct something, add something, or whatever, you can just send him a quick email on that, and I'll try to make sure we have handouts for the next time. That was my mistake. But just go ahead and stand together, and we'll have a word of prayer. And before I pray, once again, just please remember that, as you know, the Lord loves you, this preacher loves you. Yes, Brother Ed. All right, everyone can sit down but Ed and Faye. Let's go ahead and sing happy anniversary. How many years?
54.
Wow. Yeah. Here we go. Happy anniversary. We love you. All right, now we can all stand again and be dismissed. Don't rush off. It's 8:07. Fellowship if you got time. And as always, remember, God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be a help to you, please do not hesitate to ask. You're dismissed.